It's the Rosie on the House Show.
And a beautiful Arizona. Good morning to you all. Man, what a great, great end of November. We had a wonderful rain last weekend. Still a little moist on the ground. The dust hasn't picked back up. The weather's beautiful.
Anytime Sunrise and Snowball are open on Thanksgiving weekend, that's a great weekend, baby. Oh, man. How cool is that?
I love it.
We could go skiing this afternoon.
Let's go.
Load them up.
Check your traffic reports. I understand there is some collisions that kept I-17 closed for a couple hours. People on their way up to Snowball. That's not how you want to start a trip to go skiing. Drive safe. Be careful. We'll be there when you get there.
I did make a run up to Nutrioso, Arizona earlier this week, and I can tell you the roads are clear.
Excellent.
Absolutely clear.
What was your favorite thing last night? I think
in the food.
Yeah, that pork chop and gravy, man. That was, I never had anything like that. That was good.
Mine was sweet potato.
Right on the bone.
I think my favorite thing of the whole year was just the company. It's just good having everybody come in and see everybody.
Were you busting my chops?
I was.
With your microphone off?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Turn your microphone back off.
My favorite was the sweet potatoes that you left at home on your kitchen counter.
You like that?
An hour away, yeah. We did all right without them, though.
We were at Romy's for Thanksgiving Day.
Right.
And on a spur of the moment, he had a whole corner of his garden in sweet potatoes. And we thought, well, it's probably about time. Let's go pick. Two of those sweet potatoes had to weigh 4 pounds.
Wow.
I don't have a weight scale that goes that small, but easily. I mean, it was.
He had monster. We had quite a little harvest.
13. Just weigh yourself before and after eating.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll post that on Facebook. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to join in the conversation. You know what else is missing? I think I may have gotten the Ramada taken care of. Apparently, JLC is listening this morning because they called and said, hey, we've got those for you, Romy. We've got one in stock.
Call me. There you go.
But when the sun goes down.
As it does very early in the day this time of year.
I've only got a few spots on different areas of the home, so you would have to come in close. Or my favorite thing, just light the fire pit. I mean, obviously, there's not a lot of lighting, but for getting out there and walking back to the home, but you can see a lot of stars. But just some outdoor lighting for walkways. That's something that I think I need to add to my outdoor design list.
Well, and Romy, you tend to be very, very functional and creative. Don't forget, lighting can be more than function. Lighting is art, isn't it, Bill?
Oh, you get a chance to tell people what you want them to see.
Oh, man.
People look to light, and so you can paint a picture with light. I always make the joke, we don't light the pool equipment.
No, we don't.
You know, you get a chance to draw the eye out into the landscape if you've got some big trees in the distance, get some light up into those. You were talking about how much you enjoy moonlighting coming out of a tree. That's a very natural effect when you can get the fixtures up in the tree, maybe do a trio of them, and get the light filtering through the branches, get some shadows on the ground. We have some fixtures even have a neat little effect with holes in them. You get a little twinkly effect, almost like a little starlight effect. It's kind of a neat.
It is.
Neat effect. So
I love the shadows of the limbs.
That's what I was saying.
You know, it's just so cool. It's like a full moon lighting.
And
effect.
In lighting, shadow and darkness are very important. You want to have that, or else you know you don't have any contrast. So getting a chance to wash maybe an interesting specimen that goes dormant in the winter and get that neat effect on a wall, that can really look neat, silhouetting the wall with the shadows.
I like the concept you shared with me in when you were educating me about lighting. It's just the layer of lighting. It's right. What are they called? Glare bombs.
Oh, right. and you know, I have a...
That's what I have.
A glare bomb.
Oh, I have a 100-watt halogen collection right on the lawn. Turn it on and go, boom, kaboom.
Yeah, you've seen those coach lights in the front, you know, and those things, and they put 60-watt lamps in those things, and, you know, there's four of them, and you don't even see the house.
Right.
You know, drop that down. But, yeah, having the ability to have a little higher level of light on larger things to create focal points, softer layers of light coming into the foreground, picking things, focal points. You know, if you light everything, then nothing's a focal point.
You know, and on the topic of lighting, I as most longtime listeners know, I'm death on anything that requires maintenance. You know what? put it in, put in the best thing you can afford, put it in right, and then let it just be there. So as much as I love those moonlights that shine down through the limbs, I've abandoned them. I mean, I had them in all my mesquites in the front yard, and they required fiddling with constantly. And then you want to get them up high enough so it really gives you the effect. And then every 3 years, the bulb burns out. And then you got to be a monkey and climb up there.
We need to put some LED lamps in those.
And that really is the new evolution of outdoor lighting. And I mean, light bulbs that'll last decades.
Perhaps 20 years under the right conditions. 35, 45, 50,000 hour life on these lamps still give you full brightness. And they finally got the color temperature correct with LEDs now. No longer do we have these bluish, bright, white, fluorescent looking things. You're getting into the warmer color temperatures, so plants look normal and people look normal. You're not blue. So that was a major stepping stone, was to get the color temperature correct.
Now, we had the moonbeam lighting, and then we had up lighting, cans buried in the ground at ground level. Mm-hmm. Those seem to be a lot of maintenance, too.
I'm getting away from using some of the older lamps that we used to use in the industry, just finding that there are better alternatives. We have some new sealed fixtures that will take the LED lamp now and allow us to have that long life, low maintenance, and still get the effect that we're looking for, because sometimes you do want to have a fixture that doesn't stick up above ground.
You do. It seems to me the lowest maintenance bulb, I've got the down lights, I've got the up lights, I've got the top, what I call top hat lights.
Okay, that's your path lighting.
Path lighting.
Area lighting.
Have those. But the ones that seem to be absolutely the lowest maintenance are the ones that just, they have a bayonet that sticks in the ground, and then they have a cone, and you just direct them. And they can be up lighting. I'm using them as up lighting. But those, they're easy to get to. They're easy to service. They're easy to replace the light bulbs. And if you want to change them or direct them as the tree grows, it's just a matter of plucking them up, moving them 6 inches, and redirect them. I'm becoming a big believer in those.
That is a good point. But so much of it goes back to the lamp, to having the correct lamp. The fixture just holds the lamp. Yeah. You're looking for the effect that you want to create, and that's the lamp.
Yeah.
In any case, we need to change some lamps at your house.
And then you can go by intensity as well. I mean, in the same fixture.
Well, that's the whole point of the design element. You want to pick that intensity before you've even selected the fixture. You want to know what you're going to do with that. Pick the right lamp. That's going to do the work. Now you have the fixture that holds the lamp that creates the effect that you're trying to achieve.
Wire's cheap, so when you're starting, run extra wire, extra water pipes, extra drip lines.
Well, nowadays,
when that trench is open, man, put everything in that. There
and with the LED, the draw of the lamps is so much less. You're dealing with a lamp that may use 4, 5, maybe 6 watts. That gives the equivalent of 20 or 35 watts of the old halogen or incandescent. So the wiring now is less critical. It's really simplified things and saves money, too, because that wire is not cheap.
Before we get to our calls at 1-888-767-4348, that's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. I'd like to bring Jonathan in. Coming up to December, one of the big things we're going to see is poinsettias. Any kind of care or maintenance. I know some people can make them last year after year after year. Mine, they're always dead halfway through December, but it seems like if you wait any longer than that, they're hard to find.
Yeah, I think it just put them in a bright window if you better on the kitchen table, but if there's any, the more light they get, the better. Probably not full sun, but the pots they're in are usually a lot of peat moss too, so they go bone dry and they're hard to get wet again, or people keep them too wet. If they're constantly soppy, they'll first thing they die from. If they dry out so bad they wilt, they'll start dropping the leaves off. So it's keeping the moisture just right when the surface of the pot goes dry, water them again. But you do want to let the surface go dry before you do it.
And it seems like they've gotten pretty creative. It's not just a red plant anymore.
Endless,
there's plenty.
Yeah.
Yep. Varieties.
And you can plant them outside. They're frost sensitive, but you can plant them outside when you're done with them and makes a 6-foot bush.
All right, let's see how we can help Joshua and Mesa. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good, good.
I have three questions. The first question I have, I've been moving dirt around my house. This dirt was close to the Mexican petunias, and now I see petunias growing everywhere. How can I eradicate those petunias where I don't need them?
It's a lot of labor to dig them. They have a real strong root system that goes everywhere. Probably what's coming up is little pieces of root that got broke off and then buried. They also make seed that comes up. So either way, I mean, if you're okay with using Roundup type, you know, or glyphosate's the main ingredient, but it'll kill them for sure, and it kills them down into the root if you're okay with spraying them. Otherwise, it's labor. Every time you see one, you pull it up, yeah.
Well, yes, it's becoming quite a pain.
Yeah.
The other question I have, when is the best time to trim my citrus trees?
After danger of frost would be best. If you trim them now, it could promote new little shoots, and those little shoots are the most tender for the cold. So March would be good, and sometimes you got to worry about if you're cutting off a lot of flower or fruit. Uh-huh. Think about that. But the best case with citrus is to trim as little as possible, but if they are getting out of control, you can always trim the big long whips that come out of the top of them. And if you trim little by little, you could probably do it anytime you want. It's always the best rule with pruning. It's little by little, a tip here and a tip there. You don't have to worry about what time of year it is. But for a heavy prune after danger of frost, it'd be March.
We appreciate the call. How are your citrus trees doing? I know you had a beautiful, they were getting up about 7 foot high, and from what I understand, that frost, they were trimmed down to ankle height.
Yeah. Oh, the lemons. Yeah, last year I lost lemons all the way. But no, right now we're picking tons of tangerines. Them tangerines are hardy to the cold, and they're full of fruit right now. They're about 10 years old, but they're full of fruit. But I got all kinds of citrus, but those are they vary a lot in frost tolerance. You know, it goes from like Mexican limes, probably the most sensitive to frost, to like a tangerine or a kumquat would be almost bulletproof here.
Really?
Yeah.
A kumquat would?
Kumquats are the hardiest of all.
That's the first plant I lost in my orchard.
What? In the summer or the winter?
I can't remember, but that was the first one I had to rip out and replant because it went completely dead.
Oh, man.
I don't know what happened. So maybe I chopped the root ball when I was planting it or something. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you on a beautiful Saturday morning.